The region, to which the magistrate of the Camorrian was now conducted, lay at some distance below the Ophidian laboratories. The air of the gulfs and grottos along his way began to increase markedly in warmth, and was moist and steamy as that of some equatorial fen. A primordial luminosity, such as might have dawned before the creation of any sun, seemed to surround and pervade everything. All about him, in this thick and semi-aqueous light, the hunter discerned the rocks and fauna and vegetable forms of a crassly primitive world. These shapes were dim, uncertain, and wavering, and were all composed of loosely organized elements. Even in this bizarre and more than doubtful terrain of the under-earth, Ruftontis seemed wholly at home, and he flew on amid the sketchy plants and cloudy-looking boulders, as if at no loss whatever in orienting himself. But Ralibar Vuz, in spite of the spell that stimulated and compelled him onward, had begun to feel a fatigue by no means unnatural in view of his prolonged and heroic itinerary. Also, he was much troubled by the elasticity of the ground, which sank beneath him at every step like an oversodded marsh, and seemed insubstantial to a quite alarming degree. To his further disconcertion, he soon found that he had attracted the attention of a huge, foggy monster with the rough outlines of a Tyrannosaurus. This creature chased him amid the archetypal ferns and club mosses, and, overtaking him after 5 or 6 bounds, it proceeded to ingest him with the celerity of any latter-day saurian of the same species. Luckily, the ingestment was not permanent, for the Tyrannosaurus's body plasm, though fairly opaque, was more astral than material, and Ralibar Vuz, protesting stoutly against his confinement in its maw, felt the dark walls give way before him and tumbled out onto the ground. After its third attempt to devour him, the monster must have decided that he was inedible. It turned and went away with immense leapings in search of comestibles on its own plane of matter. Ralibar Vuz continued his progress through the Cavern of the Archetypes, a progress often delayed by the alimentary designs of crude, misty-stomached allosaurs, pterodactyls, pteranodons, stegosaurs, and other carnivora of the prime. At last, following his experience with the most persistent megalosaur, he beheld before him 2 entities of vaguely human outline. They were gigantic, with bodies almost globular in form, and they seemed to float rather than walk. Their features, though shadowy to the point of inchoateness, appeared to express aversion and hostility. They drew near to the Camorrian, and he became aware that one of them was addressing him. The language used was wholly a matter of primitive vowel sounds, but a meaning was forcibly, though indistinctly, conveyed.
We, the originals of mankind, are dismayed by the sight of a copy so coarse and egregiously perverted from the true model. We disown you with sorrow and indignation. Your presence here is an unwarrantable intrusion, and it is obvious that you are not to be assimilated even by our most esurient dinosaurs. Therefore, we depart without delay from the cavern of the archetypes and seek out the slimy gulf in which Abhoth, father and mother of all cosmic uncleanness, eternally carries on its repugnant fission. We consider that you are fit only for Abhoth, which will perhaps mistake you for one of its own progeny and devour you in accordance with the custom